The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm so excited to have everyone back, and I'm even more excited to have our guest on today. She is the managing partner of Lauren Capital. She's Miss Angel Williams. Angel, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me to be a guest on your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, for those that want to pull back the curtain a little bit, Angel's fantastic to talk to. We highly recommend it. We'll definitely have some links in the show notes afterwards. I've loved getting to know her. But for those that maybe don't know you, Angel, give us a little bit about where you're from, just a quick synopsis of how you got into real estate and what kind of real estate you find yourself in today.
Alrighty. So we are currently in North Texas. If you look at the map, we're about 2 hours to the left and up a little bit from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We think we're in a prime location because we're, you know, two-ish hours from the DFW area. And then we are about two-ish hours straight down from Oklahoma City too. So we've got two major markets really in our hand. So we enjoy being where we're at. We're really close to Lawton too. If anyone has considered investing there, we might, you know, be thinking about doing some stuff there as well. But as for how we got into this, it turns out that Jason and I both grew up in families that invested in real estate. I was raised by my grandparents. My grandparents had some stuff here and there. They had some, they had a small trailer park. They had some apartments. They had some single family homes. And so I grew up with that just being the norm. So it was very natural for me to move into real estate investing as I got older. And then with Jason, same kind of situation. His parents got into real estate investing a little bit when he was a little bit older. So he got to see firsthand more of how it worked. But when we bought our first house in 2003, we didn't even have to discuss it. We both knew that that would be our first rental. And that was how we got into real estate investing, and how we got into rentals was single family homes. And so the good of that is that I'm comfortable with real estate investing. The not so good of that is when things get a little hairy, I tend to retreat back to single family homes because that is my comfort level. So that can be not so great.
Well, sure. Well, listen, I mean, it's great to have that knowledge and to come up with that knowledge. I think a lot of us, myself included, are coming into the game a little bit later with less real estate actual experience, hands-on, knowing the ins and outs of what goes into it and that sort of thing. We're playing catch-up. We're researching. We're listening to podcasts. We're reading books and going on Bigger Pockets and all these different things, playing catch-up. It's always refreshing to hear somebody that got that kind of foundational knowledge as they grew up. You know, I'm incredibly jealous of that. So listen, there's nothing to be ashamed about for knowing what you know and leaning in on what you're good at.
Yeah, no, it just gives us a unique perspective for looking at things, because combined we have about 35 years of experience in real estate investing. And that's a lot when you're in your 40s.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, not many people can say that, right? Kudos to you guys for being able to do it. And you mentioned, things don't always go according to plan. I know we were chatting a little bit before we hit record, and you were telling me a little bit about some things. But for our audience today, what kind of comes to mind with some of the stories from bumps and bruises you've gotten along the way that have helped you shape where you're at in your career now?
So I watched my grandparents self-manage. And even when they were in their 50s, 60s, 70s, they were still going door to door and collecting rents at the first of every month. And I had watched that. And so I knew that I was never going to self-manage ever. I knew from day one that I was going to be like as passive as I could possibly be. And Jason was on the same page with that. So when we moved that first home into our first rental, we immediately got a property manager. Because in our minds, that was, how do you passive invest? You get a property manager. The first one worked in the first office, and then he moved us to someone in the office. And that wasn't so great because our first renter was a bit of a nightmare. what happened to us with our first renter would have sent a lot of people to sell and leave. I don't know if you want me to expand on
that. Yeah, I would love to, because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, with your experience, you probably, it didn't faze you too much. But for others that are maybe their first time going into a real estate investment, I think I know what you're about to say, but the story, unpack it for us. I'm sure it would have sent a lot of people running for the hills.
Yeah. So, you know, we had lived in this house and we knew its ups and downs and we were okay with it. But when we got ready to make it a rental, we knew we had to do some upgrades. So we had paid, and this is 06, 07, we had paid $5,000 or $6,000, maybe $7,000 to get it ready to rent. And the very first renter, I don't even remember if that renter made it through the first month rent. I certainly don't think they made it through the second, but it was a rent Dodge in the middle of the night. And this lady was a professional, earning a nice amount of money. Like we're talking like a medical professional.
Sure. So and, somebody with a decent amount of income coming in.
Somebody that a background check isn't going to red flag. And so we thought we were going to be doing great and skipped in the middle of the night, left all of her stuff behind. And we had to pay to have the stuff removed. And then we had to do another make ready. And Jason and I have seen the ups and downs of real estate investing. So it, you know, it sucked. We weren't happy about it, but it didn't send us for the hills. Whereas a lot of people, if they have that as their first experience, they're done.
Well, and to your point, they probably wouldn't know. I mean, myself included, if that were my first property, I wouldn't know what to do next. Do I take the stuff out? Is there somebody that can take it out for me? How do I get it back on the market? There's a lot of things that go into that that I think for somebody like yourself and Jason, it's just part of the business, but it's not a good part of the business. You don't want to have to do that, but y'all weren't scared. It was just something you had to do. Where did the you mentioned the property manager and looking to be passive, where were they able to help you out? And you mentioned some struggles with them as well. Where did the struggles really begin after that? But where were they also able to help you out with some of those things?
So your property manager markets your property. They vet the renters and they take care of those 2 a.m. toilet clog calls. They take care of the back door isn't closing right. I got locked out of my house. They take care of all that mess. And you also have like it's kind of like an escrow account where say you put $200 or $300 in it. And if something needs to be fixed and it is under that amount, don't even contact, just fix it. The other cool thing is a lot of property managers, if it's a larger thing that has to be fixed, like maybe you need a new range or maybe the furnace goes out or the ACs, one of the things that a lot of property managers will do is they'll let you pay that out. So they'll front it and they'll pay the bill and then you pay it off over a series of months out of the rent. And that can be super nice too. But if you didn't grow up seeing that, or this is your first rodeo, you might not know that you can even ask for those things.
Interesting. So for somebody that's maybe getting into it now, how would you maybe suggest educating themselves, or even if they're interviewing potential property managers, going about one, educating themselves on it, and two, making sure they bring it up or understand how that works with that property manager?
So there's a nice thing about Google, and that's a lot of places are rated and you can just go through the ratings. And if you've decided to start this and you started out by going to face-to-face RIA meetings, which is what a lot of people will suggest, is find a local RIA meeting and start going to it. You're going to make connections with people that are using property managers and you ask for referrals. Those referrals are gold because it cuts down your search time tremendously.
I love that. We show up to our local RIA meetings. It's fantastic. I've heard nothing but great things about them just across the country with all the folks that we've interviewed, that a lot of times you can make those great connections. But to your point, they will have suggestions for you. And they've likely already been in a situation that you maybe haven't been. And they can make those suggestions or tell you who to maybe use to help you in that type of thing. I can't echo that enough. Show up at your local RIA meeting, especially now that we're all starting to get back out and actually be able to do these things in person.
Yeah. So, and even if you're in a situation where you're still meeting by Zoom, you can still establish good relationships in Zoom. My experience is that it just takes a little bit longer. So whereas you might be able to establish a good relationship in a half hour when you're face to face, it might take 45 minutes to an hour or maybe two or three Zoom meetings to find the same, you know, solidness to that relationship that you could have gotten in a face-to-face meeting. So it's just a little trade-off.
Sure. Well, and again, the trade-off's worth the payout at the end. Finding somebody that's a good connection, can make good recommendations, and is trustworthy is crucial. I would be interested, though, I know we were talking a little bit as well about, you know, what you interpreted would be passive in your real estate career early versus what you interpret as passive now. Could you talk a little bit about that for our audience?
Oh, I absolutely can. So number one, you know, we've got the single family rule going, and Jason, my husband, learns about syndication and multifamily and scaling. He's like, Angel, this is what we need to be doing. Granted, single family homes are a very slow roll. Residential multifamily is a little bit faster, but you want to talk about scaling quick, get into multifamily, like commercial multifamily. And so he finds out about syndication and we find a mentor and we start getting involved passively in the in the LP side. And we started getting distributions. And I was like, what is this magic? I thought we were passive before. And I was like, heck no, we're not passive. I still got to field those phone calls to get the insurance people to come do the roof. With LP side syndication, like multifamily syndication, you do nothing. You just get your distribution, whether it's every quarter or every month, depending on the operating team. And you literally do, I mean, you don't have to do anything. So there is a huge spectrum when it comes to passive. And I guess, I mean, even as an LP, you can be more involved than we probably are, but it's still knowing that you don't have to be involved. And that's like super duper passive. And that's just putting your, like being able to wrap your mind around the idea of passive literally being hands-off is just wild after you've spent so many years thinking you were passive in that residential space.
It is true definition of mailbox money.
Absolutely.
Right. You invest your initial investment and then you get those returns on whatever return rate that, as you mentioned, the operator comes up with. So, and for those that maybe are new to that or haven't thought about that, you can get a lot of the same tax benefits as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The tax benefits are insane too. So like just for number's sake, you have possibly, like, I think we've seen them in the past where, you know, you put in, you know, say just call it 50,000 and maybe you get to depreciate 70 and you're like, that doesn't make sense. How am I depreciating 70 if my investment was 50? But that's the way the cost segregation with the bonus depreciation works sometimes. And I'm not saying that it's always that way and you're always going to depreciate more than your original investment, because I don't know. And not every investment works the same. They're all different. They're all structured differently with different distribution schedules. And all of them are different depending on the operating team. But to realize that that's even a possibility, maybe it just washes out. Maybe you put in and you deduct the same amount. I mean, it's, the possibilities are endless and the tax implications are just absolutely stellar.
Yeah, definitely pay attention to how the operator's writing the deal. Look at all the details in there, because to your point, they're all going to be different. And every operator may structure their deal slightly differently than others. So regardless of who or where you invest your money, if you're going to do it passively in a syndication deal, make sure you're understanding exactly all the details of that syndication deal itself. And everyone, don't assume that the operator is going to do the same thing on every deal as well.
Yeah. And honestly, I will never forget I was leading a panel on passive investing and I had Jeremy Roll and Sandhya Seshadri. And there was a point where I realized that the way that I was determining whether a passive investment was good or not good was really naive. And I'm not going to say that either of them admonished me for not putting more into the thought process, but I felt kind of stupid. Jeremy Roll is like the platinum of passive investors and his lawyers look at everything. The first time we ever passively invested, that wasn't even a thought in my mind that I needed to have a lawyer look at it. It was just like, what are the returns? Oh, wow. This is awesome. Yeah, let's do it. Instead of, wait a second, who are these guys for real? What is their history? How many repeat investors do they have? How long have investors been investing with them? I mean, now I have like this whole list of questions that I can ask to vet an operating team. Whereas before, I just kind of went by intuition, and that's not the smart way to go, people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you'll get a gut feeling about people, but truly vet them out. Right. To your point,
absolutely. I mean,
with Zoom, we don't have the excuse anymore. Even if you're doing it across the country, you can meet people and get a good feel for people and ask all the questions that you want to ask over several Zoom meetings. And to be honest with you, if you have a good operator, they're going to take all those meetings and answer all those questions.
Absolutely. Because they want to build a history and have repeat investors. Nobody wants to start from scratch every single time they have a deal.
No one does. That sounds like a nightmare.
Absolutely.
Well, Angel, I think I'm looking at the clock and we're coming up on time. So I want to thank you for coming on board. But before we wrap up officially and do all this stuff, for those that maybe want to connect with you, you have a ton of experience. You have a lot of knowledge. And I know you're great at sharing that to the community. Where can people find you and how can they reach out?
Probably the best place to go is to our website and our educational platform website is probably the best. That is www.theacademypresents.com. We've got a membership area there you can join to get access to our workshops, our boot camps, our summits, to our podcast, just to everything that we're putting out there. And if you ever want to invest with us or see what we're doing, you can go to www.laurencapital.com. And that is LORRENCAPITAL.com. And you can join our investor list there and just kind of see what we're doing and see a little bit more about our personal stories. So those are probably the two best ways.
Perfect. And we'll make sure to link all that in the show notes for everyone so you can quickly access it. Angel, I can't thank you enough for coming on board. It's been fantastic getting to know you, hearing about your stories, your background, everything. It's truly been lovely. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, just thank you for giving me this opportunity to share.
Absolutely. And thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.